You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. Available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and LockedOnPelicans.com editor-in-chief Jake Madison at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Wednesday, the day before the NBA trade deadline. Are the Pelicans going to do anything? We're going to talk about that. The answer is maybe not, but I've got one trade target in mind for you that we'll dive into a little bit. But more realistically is the buyout market, and I've got two potential buyout candidates that we need to talk about. Guys I've been asked a lot about recently, so we'll talk about what are the chances of them getting bought out and whether they would fit here in New Orleans and what it would maybe take to kind of get them here. So we'll look at that in the first segment. Second segment, we're going to take a look at the NBA standings as the Pelicans have dropped to the 8th seed in the Western Conference. Only a half game up on the Clippers, who are in 9th. That's a bit of a worry. Four losses in five games, since the DeMarcus Cousins injury, with four of those losses being in pretty devastating fashion in blowouts. We'll talk about that. And then in the final segment, we will preview the Indiana Pacers coming up tonight here in the Smoothie King Center on a night of parades. So this attendance is likely not going to be good. We'll still talk about it. What should the Pelicans need to do to get a win there, and go over everything you need to know with that in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by the Draft app. So some trade deadline chatter, because we are headed right towards that. Tomorrow is the deadline. Also tomorrow, we're going to be drawing tickets for the raffle to potentially watch a game with me if you guys want, with the Leonce Bailey donation and GoFundMe for everything. So make sure you get in on that as well. $10 or more just gets you in, and for every $10 increments, you get an additional entry in there. So $100 gets you 10 entries in there for two chances to win four tickets. And if you want, like I said, I will watch the game with you. Andrew Smith of BourbonStreetShots.com will watch it with you. We've got a couple of other little perks and different things in there. You'll get some airtime on the podcast too. All of that and more, as well as the album from the new Vox and the Hound record. Who does the intro music for this? So it's a lot of great things out there for a good cause. So let's talk trades, because that's more fun than anything else around this time of year. And look, the Pelicans are likely done after the move for Nikola Mirotic, mainly because now you've got to move out salary to bring in salary. So you're looking at a guy like maybe, you know, Alexei Ajinsa at $4.5 million, $5 million for next year, being the most realistic trade chip. And no one really wants to take $5 million on next year without a first-round pick being attached to it. So it could be very difficult to move him. It's not going to necessarily take just 2 seconds. It might take more than that. The other guy maybe you could move would be Dante Cunningham, right around $3 million a year or so. But he has a no-trade clause, with it being a one-year deal. So he can veto any trade whatsoever. So that's a bit of an issue there. A guy that's been linked to the Pelicans that they still might be interested in, though, however, is James Ennis III. You guys might remember him from 2 years ago towards the end of the Pelicans season, when he played nine games for him, starting 5 games, and in 31 minutes per game averaged almost 16 points a contest. Pretty good numbers right there. He's a small forward, plays on the wing, 6'7". He's in Memphis now. They signed him when the Pelicans kind of stalled to a $6 million total deal. So $3 million a year. This guy fits in. You could move Ajinsa for him. I don't think they want to take on long-term salary there, though. You could potentially include Frank Jackson and or Cheick Diallo and maybe a second-round pick to try and pry him from there. Or if Dante Cunningham were to agree to a trade, you'd be able to move him straight up. And then him being an expiring contract could, in theory, be an appealing piece for the Memphis Grizzlies. Ennis this year has been averaging 7 points and 3.5 rebounds per game. He's only doing it in 23 minutes or so. Last season for him, again, 23.5 minutes, 6.7 points, 4 rebounds. If you're just looking for some depth on the wing that might be cheap and doesn't add long-term salary, and we know the Pelicans are very worried about the luxury tax going forward, this could be a good guy. Just to kind of as simple as that. Nothing too exciting there. Wouldn't take too much to get him for almost any asset whatsoever. Problem is making the salaries match. You'd likely need to do this with Dante Cunningham. He's got to waive his no trade clause. I don't know if he's going to be willing to do that. But if the Pelicans don't see him here in the future, maybe getting a tryout with another team and getting some minutes and extended run could help him with that. He didn't really play the other night against the Utah Jazz, so maybe kind of a precursor of you don't give him minutes, maybe that gets him to agree to a trade. Though we don't know for sure. We don't necessarily want to speculate. Just a name I'm throwing out there to keep an eye on. So let's look at some buyout candidates, because that's where the Pelicans are going to really be targeting. They were targeting Greg Monroe, who's chosen to sign with the Celtics, though it's not official yet. But there's two other names that I want you guys to keep in mind as we kind of head towards that. And most guys get bought out after the trade deadline. So the first one is the one that's going to be on everyone's mind, and that's Brook Lopez. With the Los Angeles Lakers, the twin brother of Robin Lopez, maybe he's like a second or two older. And you know, this is a guy who's almost 30 years old on this young Lakers team. He only played 9 minutes the other game and seemed very upset about it, almost in tears over it. He was kind of just that upset, and he's playing a career low in minutes for the Los Angeles Lakers right now. So you have to figure he's a guy that could get bought out just because he doesn't want to be there. And the Lakers don't really have a need for him. He came over in the trade from the Nets, that got rid of that Mozgov deal. For the Lakers, as they try and clear cap space to move forward and potentially sign some big players. Though maybe later in the week we'll talk about a potential issue with that, because my God, do the Lakers look like a bit of a dysfunctional team right now. This is a guy who a year or two ago you could have seen the Pelicans trading a first-round pick for to bring in to pair with Davis, because he's got a fairly similar skill set to what Nikola Mirotic does, where he can stretch the court, he can play inside a little bit as well. And if you got him for the rest of the season on a veteran minimum, even though that skill set's a little bit repeated, it's not a bad thing to have. This is a guy through over his career has averaged some really good numbers. The final 2 years in Brooklyn before he going to the Lakers, the guy averaged over 20 points per game, 25 and a half points per game, 20.5 points per game. I'm off today. So his career has been like very solid. He's a one-time all-star. Again, he can stretch the court, which is what you need when it comes to Anthony Davis. You could have him start and bring Mirotic off the bench, or the other way around. Either way, it would really work. He's a pretty good rebounder, averaging for his season 6.9 boards per game. Dipped since he is last season in Brooklyn and this season with the Lakers. Again, that has to largely do with the minutes per game. And you have to figure he'd see maybe an increase in minutes here in New Orleans, so those numbers should jump up as well. But anytime you can get a guy who averages on his career 18 points and 7 boards a contest, it's definitely a good thing, and you kind of make a move for that. He'd likely be the best guy that's been bought out after this coming trade deadline, if you discount Greg Monroe, since that happened before, you know, and the Pelicans should jump on a player like this. He's also pretty decent on the offensive glass, averaging 2.5 offensive boards per game his entire career. And really, when you kind of look at it more, you know, recently, past couple of seasons in Brooklyn, those numbers were very good and could help the Pelicans become an offensive rebounding team, because we've seen how successful they are there. Then, you know, it's a realistic chance that he gets bought out, so keep that in mind. So the next guy I want to talk about on the buyout market, I'm actually going to wait to talk about on until after the next segment. And there's a reason why, and we'll explain that then. So before we get to the next segment, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros, and it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app too. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, not a salary cap game where everyone can get the same players. You do a snake draft like your regular fantasy leagues, where if you get the player, he helps you out and no one else. No more needing spreadsheets or looking for dark horses and under-the-radar plays that other people aren't doing. You get your guy, you benefit from it. You're done in under 5 minutes and you get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling up every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code, LockedOnPelicans. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code. It's LO Pelicans, sorry, LO Pelicans. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So let's go take a look at the NBA standings because that's rather important now. The Pelicans were solely in sixth place before the DeMarcus Cousins injury happened and now have fallen all the way down to eighth, which just being a two-spot drop, it gets kind of worrisome because you've seen Portland kind of go on a bit of a run. Denver looks much better recently and they're starting to get healthy, looking to also be a very real player at the trade deadline. And the Pelicans, again, four losses in five games after the DeMarcus Cousins injury, and all four of those losses being blowout losses. And it's not like, you know, replacing a top 20, 25 player in the NBA is easy and shouldn't lead to losses. Or no one's saying that here. We're just looking at the Pelicans' place in the NBA in the Western Conference right now. Because that game against Utah and the game against the Clippers have all been rather important. The Pelicans are now in the eighth spot at 28 and 25, just a half game up on the Clippers, who sit in ninth at 27 and 25. And when you really look at it, they're only three games up on Utah now, and keep Utah in mind, we'll talk about them last, who are 25 and 28 on a six-game winning streak, scoring over like 120 points in their last four games, something like that. And look, scary, scary good right now. So this is definitely a concern for the Pelicans. The Clippers are the immediate threat here, but who knows exactly what they're trying to do, and we'll maybe get a better picture of everything by the end of day tomorrow if they've made any moves. You know, they have a ton of injuries. Patrick Beverley's been out all year for them. Austin Rivers has been out. They were without Gallinari for a number of months, weeks, whatever it was. Theodosic has been in and out of the lineup for them. They've been dinged up. They traded Blake Griffin. You figured they're looking to deal DeAndre Jordan. Maybe trade Avery Bradley as well, who they received in the deal for the for Blake Griffin. Maybe looking to cut him too. You know, so there's a lot kind of in flux here. And don't forget Lou Williams, who everyone is after and would be a great pickup for most teams. So what they do is really kind of dependent on, you know, whether or not they're going to stay in the playoff hunt. If they trade everyone, then likely not going to be doing anything. And if you look at their four games leading up to the All-Star break, they are on the road for all of them, which might help the Pelicans. They're at Detroit, second night of a back-to-back, at Philly, which won't be easy. Then going on the road to Brooklyn before finally taking on Boston in the final game before the All-Star break. You're looking at 2-2, realistically, there. And that's okay for the Pels. You want to just kind of keep serve with these teams. So, you know, if they, say, go 0-4 and then just really kind of make sure to have blown it all up, that'll be intriguing. But what they do at the trade deadline is really going to determine whether they're a threat or not to the Pelicans. You got a lot of young, hungry guys on that team that just want to go out and play basketball. Some second-round picks, some G League undrafted guys who've just gotten a chance. And when you get kind of that hunger on the team, can really propel you. We've seen the Pelicans miss that alone. Pelican schedule, we'll talk about Indiana coming on up. That's not an easy out. Then at Philly, and then on the second night of a back-to-back at Brooklyn. Then going to Detroit and finishing up with the Lakers at home before the All-Star break. Again, you're hoping you can basically go 3-2 in this, ideally, at least 2-3 for the Pels. Anything worse than that is going to definitely be a disaster. If they get one win out of these next five before the All-Star break, we got to talk, because now your team's under 500. That's not a good thing, and you've got a whole lot of concerns about potential. Well, you're at 500 then, I guess, is really what it would be. You got a whole lot of, you know, big things wrong with this team, because this is not the time to be experimenting. The final team to keep an eye on, and this is the most important one, and this is going to lead into the buyout candidate I wanted to talk about, is the Utah Jazz and the team you saw last night. They have looked so good over these past six games, it's tough to overstate this. A couple games ago, they beat the Golden State Warriors by 30, 129-99. They held the Warriors to under 100 while almost putting up 130. They put up against the Pelicans, we know, 133 before that. They scored 120 against the Spurs on the road before that. They put up 129 against Phoenix. So that's four straight games where you're looking at 120 or more points. They get Rudy Gobert back. He's healthy. They are a different team. You see how well coached they are just on both sides of the ball. Defensively, they funnel everything into their length and Rudy Gobert down low and let him just kind of handle everything. They're sound on the perimeter as well. You saw the ball movement, the individual play at times when they need it. This was a team we kind of left for dead earlier on in the year with Gobert being out for two separate stretches of about a month or so. And all of a sudden, they've come roaring back. And if they kind of look at themselves and say, hey, we're just 25 and 28, but we see the Pelicans faltering, we see the Clippers maybe likely to blow it up and not keeping their guys, they're going to keep trying to make a playoff push. One point I thought maybe they'd look to trade Rodney Hood, who put up 30 points against the Pels. Maybe they were looking to trade Derek Favors, and they're just going to kind of go full on, you know, youth movement around Donovan Mitchell, maybe the rookie of the year, and Rudy Gobert, the Stifle Tower. But now all of a sudden, it looks like they can get back into the playoffs and don't need to do that. And that affects the next buyout target that I'm going to talk about. But before we do that, make sure you go read LockedOnPelicans.com. John Nathan Raby has an article up there talking about the desperation mode that Dell Demps is in. And though he's sacrificing the future of the Pels, and he certainly is, maybe it's not such a bad thing because this team needs to do something right now. They are in desperation mode. So go read it over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So we're going to kind of jam two things into this segment here. I think this fits a little bit better. Before we preview the Pacers, though, so Joe Johnson, ISO Joe, the vet guy who seemed kind of unhappy with the Jazz before the six-game run for him and kind of wanted out to maybe go to a better contender where he can kind of make one final run, would have been a perfect guard wing player for the Pelicans to go after. Now, though, with them potentially being in contention, who knows if he's going to get bought out or not. But hey, it's more fun to imagine he will be. So let's talk about him just a little bit. So Joe Johnson would do a lot for the Pelicans. One, just that veteran presence, the veteran scorer. Guy can go out and get buckets, as you saw in the playoffs last year, where he was really key for the Utah Jazz, despite kind of a very quiet regular season. More recently, you know, he's known as a two guard, but he is 6'7" as well, I think. He's got some good size. He can play just on the wing at the two guard as well, so it gives a little bit more positional versatility to the Pelicans. And he's not that ISO scorer that everyone really thinks of him anymore. He's much better in kind of spot up situations, and his usage rate has gone down over the past 4 years. It's actually under 20% on average at 18.8. So you don't really worry about him getting the ball away from a guy like Anthony Davis or Drew Holiday, and can kind of play with them a little bit more. So he fits in very well. Again, at times you just need buckets with the second unit, and if you can let him run that, I think that's a great fit here. I literally had to pause recording for a moment as I just saw that Josh McDaniels is not accepting the Colts head coaching job and will remain with New England, dropped by Adam Schefter. So I think we just got a Schefter bomb. And as you all know, I'm a Colts fan, and thank God due to the magic of editing the podcast, you'd never know that I had to stop recording to take a minute just to kind of look at all of that, because that was very unexpected. Back to Joe Johnson. I am so thrown off by that. I have no idea. Look, you know, he's a quick little fix for the Pels that could give you some scoring, give you a little bit, like I said, that veteran presence that maybe you're losing in a guy like Tony Allen, a guy who's been here before, done all of this. And that's definitely an important thing. The negative here is that he's not good defensively. He never really has been. He's certainly still not a plus defender at any point now. And that's an issue because the Pelicans need to shore up that side of the ball, and I don't really know if they are quite capable of that right now. So getting a guy like him hurts you more in that regard than it helps, though. You know, how much worse could it get is the line, and it still could get worse. So that's definitely an issue, but look, if the Jazz still keep competing, he's not going to get bought out. They'll keep him because he's actually got a chance, an outside chance maybe at a title that way. And going to the Pels wouldn't necessarily improve it. If all of a sudden there's another injury soon to the Jazz and they fall out or they lose the next couple games, something like that, that's where you might see him bought out. And I bet the Pelicans would make a run at him. The upcoming schedule for the Jazz is very winnable games. They've got Memphis tonight, going then to Charlotte, there we go, at home, before playing at Portland, and then the second night of back-to-back at home versus San Antonio, and then Phoenix. So really, There's like one tough game against San Antonio who they handled on the road the other day. So are they really that worried? Probably not. So keep that in mind, though. They're an interesting team to watch, one, from the standing side of things, and two, just for Joe Johnson, he'd be a great fit here in New Orleans. So we've gone kind of long today on this, so no real preview here against Indiana. The Pacers, though, you know, are still in the playoff hunt in the Eastern Conference. They're 30-25. Victor Oladipo has been very good this year, really should be, you know, an all-star with everything. You know, they've got a very good offense. They don't have a great defense, but their offense has been surprisingly good. Got a bit of a family reunion. You got two Coach McMillans in this, head coach over for the Pacers, of course, and then the Pelicans have their own Coach McMillan, an assistant coach, with the team. So always kind of fun to see those two with everything. Got to slow down Oladipo if you want to get this game. You know, this is going to be a weird game if you're going to it. I will not be there because I've got parade stuff to be had here in New Orleans. You got Knicks tonight. The crowd on Monday was bad against the Jazz, and now you've got Mardi Gras parades and things like that, and the team having lost 4 out of 5 in rough fashion. They're not going to feed off of this crowd a whole lot. They're not going to be energized for that. So the motivation is going to need to come from within, from the coaching staff, from the players themselves. Let's see if they can do it. A win here would be nice, but against the 30-25 team that they had to come back to beat early on in the season on the road can be very difficult. So maybe we'll tell you a little bit about the mindset of this team, because they've looked shell-shocked. They look like they haven't gotten over this DeMarcus Cousins injury just yet. So I'll be curious to see which team comes out and plays before they head on the Mardi Gras road trip, leading us through the trade deadline and up to the All-Star break. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight if you're there. Enjoy the parades if you're out at those instead. And of course, I, as always, am your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.